KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, Friday, September 19th through the 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Coote Street in Portland. The goals of this Cascade Media Convergence are to create a space for media makers to network and share best practices, collectively learn skills, and lay the framework for continued collaboration and plant the seeds toward building a regional grassroots media coalition. There will be workshops, strategy sessions, and space and time for deeper discussions on all aspects of grassroots media. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, September 19th through 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Coote Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, this is Kristen Yount for the KBOO Monday Morning Radio Zine. My guests today are Peter Spendelo, president of Northwest Veg, and Bonnie Hildebrand, the event coordinator for Northwest Veg. We are talking today about VegFest. VegFest will take place September 27th and 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard. You can find out more by going to www.nwvegfest, that spells nwvegfest.org. VegFest 2014 marks the 10th. Oh, is that wrong? Bonnie's looking at me like that's wrong. Oh, no. Okay, well, here, I'll just turn it over to y'all. Thank you so much for being here, Bonnie and Peter. What happened? What did I say wrong?
Oh, it's okay. Thanks, Kristen, for having us. It's really wonderful. It's just, it's really easy to get to the website, just portlandvegfest.org.
Okay, cool. So it's the 10th year of this event. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So how has like animal advocacy and plant-based food movements changed in the last 10 years? Are you seeing a huge change for now? And then?
Well, one thing you can look at is how many vegan and vegetarian restaurants there are. When I first moved to Portland back in 1985, all we had was Old Wives' Tales as a veg-friendly restaurant, which unfortunately just finally closed here just a few months ago. There weren't vegan and vegetarian restaurants around. Now, if you look in our dining guide, you'll see we have about 20 vegan restaurants, and then there are a whole bunch of food carts and a whole bunch of vegetarian restaurants, too. So things have really changed. People have a whole lot more options now than they did, say, 20 years ago.
Well, that's definitely good news for people who want to have those options. And more and more plant-based diets are so important because why? What are the environmental impacts of food, and how does it tie into climate change?
Well, I work for the Department of Environmental Quality, although that's not why I'm here at the moment. But, we're interested in all the different things that affect the environment. And when you look at different aspects, food is actually one of the most impactful. You think of land use, how much space is taken up for growing food. You think of all the fertilizers that are produced and all the all the chemical and energy inputs that go into that. You think of the water pollution. You think of the air pollution. Animals are just huge impactors of that. They're one of the largest sources of methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations estimated that that the animal agricultural industry contributes 18% of all global greenhouse gases. I mean, that's huge. It's something where if we want to get to, knock down the greenhouse gases, you just can't ignore agriculture. It's a huge impact, and animal agriculture is the largest part of that. Somewhere like 70% of agricultural land is used for animal agriculture. 30% of the entire Earth's surface is used for animal agriculture. So it's big impacts.
Yeah. That's huge. 30% of the world is covered in animal agriculture.
Right. And you think of it, it makes sense because, when you're eating low on the food chain, when you're eating plants, you're taking, the sunlight hitting the plants, producing sugars and proteins and fats and all the stuff we need. And you eat those directly, so you get those directly. When you eat animals, you're passing all those plants through animals. And animals are just not efficient. You lose about 90% of the energy when you do that. And so that's why you need so much space for animal agriculture. You need all that space for growing the plants that you're going to feed to the animals. You go to the Midwest, for instance, you see those huge monocultures of corn and soybeans out there. You know, that's not for us to eat. That's for cattle to eat. That's for chickens to eat. Yes, we might get some of the high fructose corn syrup out of it. We might get some soybean oil out of it. But the bulk of that stuff is going to feed animals, not feeding humans. And it's just not efficient. I mean, just think of, if you want to raise more food to feed a starving world, you don't want to raise that food and feed it to animals. You want to feed it directly to humans.
Makes sense. Definitely. Well, I just want to say again, we're talking with the organizers of VegFest. VegFest takes place September 27th and 28th at the Oregon Convention Center. And now maybe I'll switch it over to you, Bonnie. What are the goals of VegFest in terms of promoting plant-based diets? Is it an event just for vegetarians and vegans? Or
absolutely not. It's really for anyone who is even just mildly curious. Like, you can come and just come in, and we have a huge exhibit hall this year. We doubled it, and people can come in, walk around. They can try all kinds of different foods, everything from satisfying your sweet tooth with chocolates and baked goods to fresh produce, and everything you can imagine in between. You can check out our fitness area with classes and demonstrations. You can check out our fashion and beauty area with talks about the ethics of fashion and demonstrations with vegan body care products and hair products. It's really open to anyone. And then we have lots of talks across a whole range of interests. So it's really for anyone who has any level of curiosity about this.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot going on. So which hall of the convention center is it?
It's halls A and A1.
So it sounds huge.
Yes, it's pretty big this year.
Nice, yeah. Nice. So I know that you're also going to be screening movies and
films. Yes, we have a dedicated film room this year, which we've never done before. So nice. All day long, both days, we have films. And it's not just come in, sit down, watch the movie. We have made a point of having an opportunity to have a discussion around the movie. So after each film, there'll be a Q&A that is led by someone who's knowledgeable. Sometimes it's the film director, someone who just simply has a lot of knowledge in the area that the film is talking about.
Fantastic. And just to let our listeners know, there's going to be a film called Cowspiracy, and that is on Saturday, I believe, at 10:30. And then at 1, Ghosts in Our Machine, which looks at... why don't you explain what that film is about?
The Ghosts in Our Machine is a beautiful film that is based on... I forget her name, but she was a photographer, and just... all the photographs she took of all these animals in various situations that humans use them, anywhere from fur farming to for food. And it's all beautifully put together to just really give people a look inside from the animal's perspective of what happens without being graphic. It's a gorgeous film.
Oh, nice. The shocking vegetarian movies are... you know, sometimes a turnoff for people, for sure.
Right. They can be.
Yeah. And, her name is Joanne MacArthur.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
And she's talking about the way people use animals for food, fashion, entertainment, research, and also as companion animals, and sometimes are let go into the streets so that you have a lot of strays and things like that. Yeah. And then it looks like Foul Play, Sunday at 3:30. And that's about
chickens.
The chickens.
Yeah. And the film was produced by Mercy for Animals, and they'll actually be there to talk about it.
Oh, great. So that's Sunday at 3:30.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then it looks like you have sort of the whale morning on Sunday. 10:30 will be...
Free Willy.
Free Willy.
Yeah. So we wanted a film that was really family friendly and for children. And this is people love this film, and it had two more films after it. But we also wanted to counterpoint that with the film Keiko, The Untold Story, which is about the whale in Free Willy and the real life, what happened to that whale. So it's an opportunity to see some really family-friendly films and to talk about what it's like for these orcas.
Great. And then it looks like the last movie on the schedule is one called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, and that would be on Saturday. And I wanted to talk about this film last because it brings in this activism and, for some, newly found awareness into our daily doings of not just how what we bring into our body affects us, but how it affects the world around us. So, you want to talk about that a little bit?
It's a great little film about the film director. He was, you know, someone who just was really struggling with his health tremendously and decided to juice and regain his health in that way. And he traveled around the U.S. and talked to other people and found their experiences with it. And I'm not going to spoil it in case anyone hasn't seen it, but there is a extremely heartwarming section with a truck driver that he meets. And we're actually going to have to talk about the film afterwards, someone who went through his program with tremendous success. So if anyone has questions, they can ask.
That's great. It seems like this idea of my health is poor, how do I get involved, and how can I sort of insert vegetarianism or something close to that into their lives without feeling like they're giving up some sort of human right, not just looking at the way, like feeling bad for animals, but also looking at how this isn't just about a humane or a morality question. It's about, like, seriously, if we keep eating these animals the way that we are as a human group, then we're all going to run into trouble. That's what I was thinking anyway.
Well, it's really interesting because if you look at the reasons for why someone might want to be interested in a plant-based diet, why they might want to move towards it, I mean, they really seem like, why not? You've got the health reasons. I mean, everybody knows, eat your veggies. I mean, you're told that right from when you're really young. And that is really important. The thing is, we need a lot of fiber in our diet. Fiber is one of the things that really helps keep your intestines going. It pulls the toxins out, every study I've ever seen that has looked at large populations has found that the people who tend to eat more vegetables live longer. They have less cancer, they have less heart disease, less diabetes. We have one great speaker, Joel Fuhrman, who's going to be talking on Saturday. You might have seen him on OPB. He's done some specials there. And he's going to be really, really sharp. And then we have Sharon Palmer, who's a registered dietitian, who'll be talking. We have Carolyn Trapp, who's a nurse, works for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine on diabetes. I mean, diabetes is one of those things that, in many cases, you can just completely reverse it by changing your diet, by eating more whole grains, more, things with fiber, greens, cutting down on the fats, cutting down on the animal foods. It really, really makes a big difference.
Yeah, I've even heard of people recovering completely from, like, multiple sclerosis and intense system-wide problems from just changing their diet to a plant-based diet.
Heart disease too. I mean, that's another thing that, cholesterol is an entirely an animal product. You don't get cholesterol out of plants. And yes, we produce our own cholesterol, but you don't need to add more cholesterol to your diet in order to, that harms you. So speakers we had in the past have shown people reversing their heart disease simply by changing the diet.
Well, I'm speaking with Peter and Bonnie, and they are putting on VegFest. VegFest 2014 is September 27th and 28th at Oregon Convention Center, just off I-5. Very convenient to the MAX blue, red, and yellow lines, as well as the Portland streetcar. You'll be surrounded by way healthy people trying their best to gently or maybe a little bit more strongly advise you that animal products are passé, attacks on our environment, and not the best thing to eat or wear. And I wanted to ask you, because I think this is really cool and no one really talks about the innovations that have been made in fashion, because we know that, well, with what happened in Bangladesh a year ago with just the fashion industry is another huge place where we see a lot of abuse, right? So how has plant-based innovations in fashion come about, and what's the new cool thing about that?
Well, I would say that there's always been an interest in plant-based fashions as long as vegetarian and veganism has been around, because people wanted to avoid wearing leather or wool or silk. What is fascinating now and really wonderful is that it has hit the high fashion world. And one of the things that tends to follow with people who are interested in that is they also get interested in the human rights aspect of fashion and what fast fashion does to the world that we consume it from, so places like Bangladesh. So they tend, there's a lot of focus around making sure that the fabrics are ethically sourced and produced. We do have a couple of companies coming, particularly Vogue Couture, which is a high fashion house out of New York. And everything they do is not only vegan, but they source their fabrics domestically. Everything is made by labor in New York that is paid a fair wage. So it's about the best you can probably get when it comes to that. So they'll be there, and we're not going to do a fashion show. We're not there to just show off clothing. We're there to talk about the ethics of fashion. So yeah, you can see the clothes, you can try the clothes on, but we also want people to see what's the story behind the clothing, yeah, and why people do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's probably a better way to let people in on that than just simply having a fashion show.
Yes.
All right. So let's see. Is there something else you want to talk about, Peter?
Well, I'll talk about some of the other things that are there. I think Bonnie already mentioned, but if you're interested in moving to a plant-based diet, a lot of people stop and think, okay, what am I going to put on the center of my plate? I mean, if I don't have meat, what am I going to have there? And that's one of the nice things about all the different samples that we're going to have, because you'll see all sorts of different things, you know, from the veggie meats, for instance, which are just really great. They used to not be so great, but they've really improved. All the vegan cheeses, milks, things like that. And then all the other, the good stuff, all the vegetables, and those people who want their desserts, we're going to have some great desserts there too. So you can wander around from booth to booth and just, sort of feed yourself as you go along. It's a lot of fun. And for only $8 to get in, that's a pretty pretty cheap set of meals that you can get.
So beyond that, what do we have? We have films, we have speakers. You said there's going to be some lifestyle type coaches. How does a vegetarian or vegan exercise program, what does that entail? Like, it seemed like that was part of it. How do you work in fitness with the plant-based diet? I'm just kind of curious about what you got going there.
Well, there's this kind of, it tends to be this idea out there that people who are vegetarian or vegan are weak and pale and, which is just not true. So this year we have a fashion or a fitness area with classes and demos. And one of the great things is we have an organization called Plant Built, which are all vegan muscle team. So they're all power lifters, bodybuilders, fashion, muscle fashion. So they're going to come and lead some classes and do a talk. And they're not the only ones. We have a whole slew of classes. You can come do Nia. You can come do Jazzercise. You can do yoga. We have yoga for children. We have Tai Chi. We have resistance band classes. So all kinds of things that people can participate in and really learn about the fact that eating vegetarian or vegan does not mean you're going to be weak by any means. When you see these folks, you're going to be like, whoa, that's amazing.
They're all ripped, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a common misconception people have that only animals have proteins. And no, that's not true. Proteins are important for anything involving growth. And so plants are loaded with proteins. Some of them, plants have really high percentage of proteins too. And, you eat a variety of plants, you get just as good a protein as you get from any sort of animal source. And yet you also pick up all these other micronutrients that the animals don't have. So that's why a whole lot of good, athletes have moved towards a plant-based diet. It does them good. They really feel like they recover faster, that they do better on a plant-based diet. And that's what you'll hear from the speakers we're going to have.
Yeah. I mean, just in my experience, it seems like if you have a plant-based diet, your body has to, it gets used to it. And it's sort of this, yeah, with recovery time, it seems for me that it definitely would help. I've noticed too. Just, yeah. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit more. So how does recovery time from an injury help if you're using a plant-based diet?
Well, this is what the athletes tell me. And, you know, I myself have been vegetarian since 1969. I was a wrestler back before. You know, I did fine on wrestling team in college. I used to run cross country too, and I did just fine there. And, you know, we've got there are a whole lot of really good vegan athletes out there, distance runners, you know, just, you know, people like Carl Lewis even, you know, he's turned vegan. There are just a lot of good examples that you'll see of people who, you know, there. I know a bunch of dietitians who are actually interested in this aspect too. So, you know, we'll be hearing from some of those sorts of people.
So when you go to VegFest, you're going to be able to eat, sample things. You're going to be able to look at clothing, try on clothing, get a little workout maybe, take a class, see a film. And then there's a kids area. Your children will be engaged in this really healthy, positive change that you can make. Or if you're not already doing it, you might find what you need to move forward toward a more plant-based diet, which would be great for all these reasons. So definitely want to just maybe tell people where it is again and how to get on the website.
So it's at the Oregon Convention Center, September 27th and 28th, and you can go to portlandvegfest.org and find all the information.
You can also download a $1 off coupon from there, so you knock your price down to $7 to enter.
And children 12 and under are free.
Great. Sounds like it's going to be an amazing, informative, and fun event that definitely everyone will find something there to walk away with.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as the number of speakers, we're going to have two full tracks of talks alone. So you'll have like a doctor in one room, a dietitian in another room, or and then on top of that, we have a whole another track of just cooking demonstrations. And then we have the film room. So it's like you go there, you might get frustrated because you don't know what you want to go to because there's just so much to see. And then you've got the exhibit hall to go wander through. So at the kids area, the teens area, I mean, there's just so much in this event that, you know, I'm really hoping that people come down and check it out and just get, you know, see what it's like. You find out about it. It's something that's just open to everybody. We want everybody to come down there and, you know, that's why we try to keep the price low, try to make it and try to bring in all these great speakers just to give people an experience.
Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be a very overwhelming, in a good way, experience for a lot of people. So Kate, the engineer, was telling me that the first VegFest was at Lincoln High School. Is that right? Or something?
Well, we've had... actually, that was the Vegan Holiday Festival. Our first one was in the church, a small church. We had like 250 people. We then moved to the Unitarian Church downtown, got up to about 1,000 people. Now we're hoping to get like about 7,000. So, you know, it's gotten a lot bigger over the years, and it's growing. You asked about how things have changed. Well, that's how it's changed. We started from being a small organization. Our organization now has about 800 members, and you know, VegFest itself has gone from 250 people attending up to, you know, close to 7,000 attending. So,
amazing! In just 10 years, that's huge. Like, can you think of anything in our economy that has grown logarithmically in that way?
Yeah,
I can't. It's amazing. So let's see.
So if you don't mind, I'd just like to mention that one thing we do hear from seniors who are, they're like, oh, am I too old for this? And, you know, or am I too old to change my diet, to change the way I do things, you know, because they're concerned about their health? And the answer is no. And this year we have a senior living table so people can come down who have questions. They can engage and get information, and along with going to all the talks. But this is a great opportunity for people who are seniors who are curious about this, and they can come talk to someone.
Because it's never too late, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so you said you've been a vegetarian since 1969. Yeah. What caused you to make that change in your life?
Well, in my case, it was just an ethical thing. I really love animals. It's funny because I went into biology and zoology as a graduate student, because I like animals. And I was thinking, if I like animals, why should I be paying someone to kill them for me to eat? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And you think of, when you get to know animals, you get to know your dog or your cat, you know that they have personality, you know they have thoughts, then you know that they have just, they're entities on their own. But you think of a cow, you think of a pig, and you try to avoid thinking about that because you don't want to think about it. But pigs are just, as a matter of fact, they're probably smarter than dogs. You can teach a pig to play a video game. A dog can't do that. They're very social creatures. If you have them, they make really good pets. They'll love you back. But why do we eat pigs and we don't eat dogs? And so if you stop and think of it, a lot of people look at vegetarians as being sort of a fringe, like they're an odd group. But I think really that we all share these common values. We share values of loving life, of loving other animals. And you got to stop and think about what that really means, what you're doing. And if you do that, I think you probably will at least cut down on the amount of meat you eat. It's just something which it makes such a good sense from an environmental standpoint. It makes such good sense for your own health. It's just it's like society has sort of pushed this on us, though, to act this way. And that's what's hard is dealing with the social aspects. And that's why coming to something like VegFest or coming to our potlucks and so on, that's why it's really good, because then you get to see what it's like if you don't eat this. And a lot of people think you're giving something up, but every vegetarian I've talked to has actually had the other experience. They've learned to eat so much more different things after they've changed their diet, because there's so much out there that they can do. And that's what we have VegFest for, to show all these different products, to see all the different things you can see and try out and see what they like. And maybe you won't like some of them, but I bet you will like a bunch of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how long have you been a vegetarian?
I've actually been vegan for 20 years.
Amazing. And what was it that made you switch?
I went vegetarian when I saw CAFO, which is a confined animal feeding operation. I saw one for cattle, and it just flipped a switch. I said, there's no way those cattle are healthy. So I went vegetarian, and then I went to work for a company that had a cafeteria that didn't serve dairy. And so at that point I stopped eating dairy, and then I stopped eating eggs, and I've been that way for 20 years.
Well, I might say you can't see Bonnie, but she is a very healthy looking individual. And, I think that the picture of health for sure.
I love the fact that people think I'm about 10 years younger than I actually am.
Fantastic. All right. So just one more time for our listeners. We are talking about VegFest 2014. It's going to be at the Oregon Convention Center, not this weekend, but next weekend. Thank you so much, Bonnie and Peter, for coming in to talk about this with our listeners. Hope to see everybody there, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
thank you. And we need tons of volunteers. Check out the website for volunteering information.
Fantastic.
And you tuned to KBOO Portland.
Now for the KBOO News at Noon for Monday, September 15th, 2014. A group of activists blocked a pipeline terminal in Canada on Saturday for over 13 hours. The activists locked down to the main gate of a terminal owned by Kinder Morgan. The company is trying to expand an existing oil pipeline under a mountain near the town of Burnaby in British Columbia. The city of Burnaby has filed a lawsuit against Kinder Morgan to challenge the environmental destruction that the expansion would cause. Local police made no effort to remove the protesters from the terminal, and they remained locked down for the entire day. Approximately 500 people drowned in the Mediterranean Sea yesterday when human traffickers rammed into their boat, sinking it. The vessel, which was traveling from Egypt to Malta, carried migrants from Egypt, Sudan, Palestine, and Syria. The wreck's two survivors say that when the migrants refused to get on a new vessel that they thought would be too small to carry them, the traffickers assaulted their boat. According to the International Organization for Migration, almost 3,000 migrants have died this year while trying to reach Europe from Africa. A man shot by Portland police several weeks ago was indicted last Tuesday for several counts of menacing and reckless endangerment. Police responded to calls about a man waving a gun on Interstate 84 and chased Denoris Laron McClendon into a northeast neighborhood, where they shot him. McClendon's gun turned out to be a replica. His grandmother says that McClendon suffers from depression and is suicidal. The night prior to his shooting, she called the police to get him a mental health evaluation. McClendon has pleaded not guilty to the charges. His bail has been set at $160,000. Israeli officials announced today that they will prosecute a group of Israeli soldiers who have publicly refused to participate in the Israeli military occupation